to our series of Vasco da Gama, where I, Aryan Sadruk, am interviewing Vasco da Gama himself to see what he says about his voyage to the East. This is part two of the Vasco da Gama series. Please check out part one of this series to give you a better insight about his first voyage to the East and him in general. Without further ado, please welcome Vasco da Gama!
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's get straight in then.
Let's.
Now, last episode, we were at the time where you had reached India and were setting a padrao up to prove that you had successfully reached India. Now, the moment of truth. What did the Indian localities think of you?
Honestly, they made fun of me. When I came into the palace of the Zamorin, I offered them 12 pieces of striped cloth, 4 scarlet hoods, 4 strings of coral, a case of 6 washhand basins, a case of sugar, and 2 casks of oil and honey. You would think that they were reasonable gifts, but no, they all laughed hard at me. I could just remember all their laughing faces. I hated it, hated it.
Oh dear, that must have been hard for you.
Yes. They were just very annoying. Either way, according to them, nothing was less valuable than pure gold was admitted at court. Above all the embarrassment, I tried so hard to convince them that I was an ambassador of Portugal and not a merchant looking for trade. The Zamorin's accomplices did not approve of what I had claimed to be and told me that if the King of Portugal could only afford such petty gifts, the mighty Zamorin had no interest whatsoever of any deals with him.
That was mean. I mean, you came all the way from Portugal and they just reject you? If they were so mean to you, why did they sign the trade treaty?
This was the Zamorin's doing. Of course, he did not care a tiny bit about the dubious King Manuel, or even more dubious country called Portugal. But he was still a reasonable man and declared that Portugal could trade with India. Zamorin's accomplices did not trust us and tried to talk him out of it. He just waved them away and stood by what he said. We had done what we had came for, but when we left at the end of August, we left an unflattering impression. We also took 5 or 6 Hindus back so that King Manuel could learn about their customs.
How was the voyage back? Did you encounter anything different than before?
Going back at the end of August was a big mistake.
Why?
It is monsoon season then. Rain is everywhere. Of course, I did not know it then. But now, I know never to make that mistake again. We came upon Anjidiv Island, which was near Goa, and then set sail for Malindi, which I reached on January 8, 1499. We had to cross the Arabian Sea for 3 months to get there, and many of the crew had died of scurvy, the disease I told you about previously. The nasty disease had greatly reduced my crew, and I had to order for the São Rafael to be burned. At Malindi, I also erected another padrao and eventually reached Mozambique on February 1st. Where the last padrao was set up. Both of the ships, the São Gabriel and Imperio, rounded the Cape together, but because of a storm, we were parted, with me and the São Gabriel. Our ship had gone on to the Terceira Island in Azores, and I recall that the Berio had reached the Tocos River in Portugal on July 10th. I dispatched the flagship to Lisbon, and I eventually arrived in Lisbon, Portugal, on September 9th, 1499, having 9 days to suffer the grief of my dear brother Paulo, who died on Terceira.
I am so sorry for your loss, Vasco. Can you carry on?
Yes, of course I can. You see, only 54 men out of the 170 men that came with me survived. It was very saddening, but that is just how life is, isn't it?
Yes, That is how it is.
Nevertheless, I made my grand entry on September 18th, and the king rewarded me with the title of Don, many estates, and a yearly pension of 1,000 crusaders.
What a journey! You face storms, disease, and even the unfriendly Calicut leaders, but you pushed through and got what you deserved. Were there any more problems along the way?
Yes, there were. We got attacked, we lost lots and lots of food supply vessels, and we faced hostilities when we'd stopped to trade.
Wow! Absolutely wow! I mean, that is probably one of the best true stories I have ever heard of. How you persevered and fought through every problem was amazing. What, from your point of view, was the good consequences of going to India and, in general, exploring?
Firstly, I opened up the sea route to the east so that people could travel there. I also convinced the Zamorin to sign the trade treaty so that all of Europe could taste spices and all of the other goods that the East holds. I also married the lady of a good family who had the name of Catherine de Ataide, who I married after the voyage. Portugal's economy also rose because of all the Asian spices we had. And finally, the Indians did learn about Christianity because of me. So I would say, pretty good.
And the bad?
Do you really want to hear this?
Yes.
Okay. Because Africa attacked me and my crew, I killed hundreds of Muslims in return. I also came to Mozambique with ships and weapons to colonize their country. I killed even more people as Christian crusades against Islamic influence. This made Mozambique a less powerful country, which also meant that they could not protect their trade route. And what did that cause? Well, in 1732, Portugal claimed Mozambique, and the slave trade started. Even now, Mozambique despises us, and even our ancestors in India. I feel so bad now, and I have realized my mistakes.
The good thing is that you have realized that what you've done is bad, and that is all that matters. Well then, that is it for today's episode. Part 3 of the Vasco da Gama series will be down below, and please check it out to find out more about Vasco da Gama's second and third voyage to India. Until next time, bye!
Bye!